the rest of the crew.
They were driving back for the bunker, remember?
Right, right.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's going to be okay.
The woman sat back on her heels. Lisbeth stood there, still as a statue. Thea scrubbed ahead through their conversation, stopping after a few minutes had passed, when the woman abruptly jumped to her feet.
"The rover,"
she said, blood pouring from her nose.
"Lisbeth, get in the rover."
The girl backed away.
"You can't let it get back to the bunker,"
the woman said.
"Can't let what?"
"Me. This.
Mom?"
Bright red spread through one of the woman's eyes, like ink dispersing in water. Her fingers twitched at her side.
"I love you, Lisbeth,"
she managed, but the words were not loving. They were a snarl. Her body trembled. And then she lunged. The girl jumped back, tripping and tumbling to the ground. Her hand grazed the pistol. She grabbed the weapon and brought it up, getting a shot off without a second to spare. It hit the woman in the arm, sending her staggering.
"Mom, please!"
The woman blinked, both eyes now completely hemorrhaged.
"Mom!"
When the woman lunged again, Lisbeth Tarlow squeezed the trigger and buried both her parents. Thea stared at the end frame, dumbfounded.
"Tarlow said they died in a storm," she said finally. "That's what she told Hevitz. Told the world."
"She lied."
Cohen nodded at the tab.
"I found it under one of the Witch Hazel mattresses. I think she transferred the footage from the rover to a personal tab and then claimed the rover took damage during the storm. That her parents died in the storm, too."
"Why would she do that?"
"Because she was young. Scared. Maybe she figured Hevitz wouldn't let her come home if they thought she was sick."
"But then why not get rid of the footage completely?"
"Survivor's guilt? Denial that her parents were gone?"
Cohen shrugged.
"I've walked through it a million times, and that's all I've got."
"Where did this happen? The same ravine Black Quarry drilled in?"
"I think so. Or at least one nearby, fed by the same water supply. From what I can figure, the whole Witch Hazel crew was out collecting data that day, and the other four adults really did die in the storm. Staying in that chasm was all that spared Tarlow. There are pictures of the seaweed on that tab, too. I think she took them before heading back to the bunker, before she decided to bury what really happened."
Thea thumbed through the interface and pulled up the most recent photos. Shots of the water were illuminated by flashlight, showing a glimpse of the murky liquid. Ribbons of ink-black seaweed waved just below the surface.
"Photosynthesis,"
Thea murmured.
"Requires light," Cohen concluded. "It's a never-ending dusk here."
"Which is exactly why the seaweed's black, to pick up all it can in the infrared." She looked back at the photo, the craggy walls of the chasm. The plant would have needed an incredibly strong and flexible root system to grow in such conditions. But if it could pick up light in the infrared, if the water was heated by a geothermal spring, it was suboptimal conditions, but it had clearly been enough. Thea's mouth hung open in awe. Until now, the fate of Black Quarry had been speculation. Perhaps there'd been a contagion in the water. Perhaps it entered via the blood and was passed in the same manner. But here, preserved on a private tab and presumably scrubbed from the Hevitz system by Dr. Tarlow as a child, was proof. It had originated in the water. If seaweed could grow in those freezing, desolate conditions, it was inevitable that bacteria flowed in those currents as well. And Dr. Tarlow had known this. Her father had been patient zero, and she'd known all along.
"She should have warned us," Thea spat out. "She knew just how dangerous Achilles is, and she covered it all up."
"That doesn't matter now."
"Doesn't matter?" Thea erupted. "Sullivan and Toby are dead because of her, Cohen. They're dead."
"They're infected," he corrected.
She put us all at risk. She gambled our lives. And for what?
It's done. It happened. Nothing we say now will change things.
You wanted to talk to her. You jumped at the mention of her name in the bunker.
Because she's seen this infection before, and I thought she might have answers. Not want to linger around trying to cure it. What matters now is that we stick together, you and me. When we get to Odyssey, I'll tell the others you weren't even in that isolation chamber when Tarlo was attacked. I'll say she was gathering blood and you were working at the computers or something. You argue my case, and I'll argue yours. We can both get off this rock if we work together, and if we make sure no one has a reason to doubt us.
Why even show me this? Thea said, pointing to the tab. If you don't want to show it to the others.
Because it will only create panic, and Pitch's words are already in your captain's head. But I need someone to trust me so I can get off this planet, and you seem smart enough to make up your own mind. So, what do you say? We keep this to ourselves? We stick up for each other? And then we show Hevitz and Galactic Disease Control and whoever else necessary once we're off this rock.
Thea could see the logic in his argument. Dylan had proved herself to be the true coward among the group. She'd let Sullivan take the fall, let others do the dirty work she, as captain, should have assumed. It wasn't a stretch to assume she'd leave Thea or Cohen behind if their stories didn't match up. The safest move was to sit on this video footage for now and pass it on to a party that would make an educated, careful decision later. "Why did Pitch write not to trust you?" Thea asked. "I mean, you don't seem particularly untrustworthy. You've helped me, confided in me, tried to warn our whole crew. I don't get why he wrote what he did."
Odyssey appeared as they crested a small rise. Cohen squeezed the steering wheel, gaze focused on the ship. They'd get to it within minutes. "Maybe he's talking about someone else. You're still assuming that the kid and I are the same." She gave him a pointed look. "I lied, okay?" he said. "Pitch found out, and then his trust in me shattered. That's why he wrote that note."
Thea started in her seat. She hadn't truly expected a confession.
"Lied how?" she asked. "To get this job. My name's not Lashley. It's Rivley. Cohen Rivley."
"Then who the hell is Amos Lashley?"
"Some druggie who OD'd in an alley near my place. I took his IDs, all of them. He worked for Hevitz and was due to report for a job the following day, so I just showed up in his place."
Hevitz had a larger labor force than any energy company in the trios. Drillers reported to work like medics did to the hospitals, shifts constantly changing, new faces at each job. With a swipe of Lashley's company ID, Cohen could have boarded Celestial Envoy, no problem. The real question was why. No one aspired to be a driller. It was awful work conditions, on awful sites, for months on end. The good pay was in the management jobs, in science and tech.
"I don't understand."
"My sister's sick, and we can't afford the treatment anymore," Cohen said. "I've tried everything to help my parents. Side jobs didn't bring in enough money. Black market prices for scripts and meds are insane. I resorted to stealing, and all that got me was a record. No corp would touch me. So when I stumbled on that dead guy, already a driller, already with all the proper IDs, I just ran with it. Got rid of his body. Never reported a death. Black Quarry was a long gig, with pay coming once a month. I set everything up ahead of time so the money would go straight into my parents' account."
"And they're okay with identity theft?"
"They think I got this gig on my own merit. And even if they didn't, I don't think they'd have said anything. We're all desperate for Gina. You do what you have to do."
Thea grabbed his backpack from the rear seat and unzipped it as far as she could without removing the pickaxe from its sheath. There, resting atop the other gear he'd packed in a hurry, was the framed picture from his nightstand. A wiry girl grinned up at Thea, thin hair, bony limbs, flagrant smile.
It was Cohen, sitting beside her, who looked grave, one arm slung behind his sister's shoulder as he forced an insincere grin.
How old is she?
14.
And you?
20.
I said you, not Lashley.
17.
What about school?
I dropped out last year so I could work. Help bring in some Unas.
Thea zipped up the bag. She'd never considered that she had it quite good. The foster home felt like a prison. The conditions were far from ideal. But she had all she needed to survive. Food, shelter, her health. She wasn't sick, had never been at the mercy of the farm corps and the prices they attached to treatments or meds. What was that thing Mel was always saying? There's no money in the cure, only the continued treatment. The cost of medication sometimes killed the less fortunate. And that's why Pitch didn't trust you? Because you weren't who he thought?
Yeah.
It didn't seem big enough. Not when Pitch was finger-painting that message with his own blood. Was this truth actually a lie? A way to win her sympathy?
Everyone was going crazy, Cohen continued, reading her hesitation. It was impossible to trust anyone, and he didn't take it well when I told him.
Why did you?
We were the only two left. At least, the only two we knew of. He started talking about a suicide pact, escaping before things got ugly. I said I couldn't, that I had to make it back for Gina. And that's when it all came out. It's easy to come clean when you think you're about to die. And I wanted to hear my own name again. Cohen, not Amos. The same was true when you showed up at the bunker. 2 months of no interaction, and I just wanted to hear someone call me Cohen.
And yet he'd originally given Thea the name Amos Lashley, probably in case Dylan had checked the Black Quarry manifest. The captain definitely wouldn't have trusted him when the name Cohen Rivley didn't appear among the company's employees. Cohen stopped the rover. They'd reached Odyssey.
The odds were never good for me or Pitch, he added with a sigh. I'm not that surprised he wrote what he did before shooting himself.
Was he sick?
Cohen shook his head. Nah, but he knew it was inevitable, and I think he wanted to go out on his own terms. A person's got a right to choose how they die, I guess.
Dylan appeared outside the passenger window, startling Thea so badly her visor flashed red.
Took you long enough,
Dylan said. Her eyes darted to the back seat.
Where's Tarlo?
Cohen glanced at Thea.
Well, his look seemed to say, are we together on this?
For now, she thought, and handed him his backpack with a nod. Nova felt like she was having an out-of-body experience as Thea updated them on the outcome of Dr. Tarlo's research. Sullivan was still locked in that isolation chamber. Tarlo hadn't found a cure. Hell, she hadn't even managed to do anything but draw blood before the men managed to attack. And now they were all lost causes, the doctor and Sullivan and Toby. Nova slumped against Odyssey's hull, hands and fists at her side. What the hell was she going to say to Miko? How could she ever tell the twins that their daddy wasn't coming home?
There are more of them, Thea was saying. They chased us from the med bay, and they'll be following.
On foot, Cohen added, so it will take them a little while. We'll be out of here before we have to worry.
That's kinda where we have a problem,
Dylan glanced to Nova.
It's on me to break bad news to the team now, Nova thought.
Exhaling hard, she began to explain.
We're not going anywhere anytime soon. Our landing gear failed in the storm. Cleaver's under there trying to fix it right now.
She waited as Thea and Cohen dropped to their knees, peering beneath Odyssey. Nova had done the same after the diagnostics warning. One of Odyssey's legs had sunk a good meter into the ground, the hydraulic piping running alongside it bowed at an unnatural angle. There was no fixing it, at least not quickly, and still, Cleaver was trying.
Hydraulics can't retract properly under this much damage, she explained. And even if they could, the damn boot's buried.
Can you fly with the landing gear down?
Cohen asked.
It's not ideal, said Dylan. But, yeah.
None of this is ideal,
Nova snarled. Flying with the landing gear down will force Odyssey into emergency protocol, which means our shields will be weakened and we won't be able to undergo cryo. And, last I checked, we don't have enough food to keep us alive for 2 fucking months.
Also, did you not hear the part about the boot being buried? We can't take off with it buried like that.
Which is why Cleaver's trying to dig us out a little. Once we're off this rock, someone can put on an EVA suit and try to repair the leg. But one thing at a time. Okay?
Dylan gave Nova a pointed look.
Cleaver, you yell if you need a hand. Everyone else, spread out and form a perimeter. Those things are probably working their way toward us now. You spot anyone closing in on Odyssey?
She said to the rest of them.
You drop them with a full shock. Am I understood?
Thea did not know what help she would be in such darkness. Barely more than an arm's length in front of her, the world seemed to blur into obscurity. Somewhere to her right, Cohen, Nova, and Dylan stood at watch, but she felt disastrously alone. It was like being on Sotir's ice caps, but at night, with a predator you couldn't see running in for an attack.
How many of them did you say there were?
Dylan asked.
3 in the vents, and about 12 in the hall, Thea answered. At least, that's what we could see.
How long will it take them to get here?
Hard to say, Cohen chimed in. They're on foot, but they can follow our tracks. And the longer a person's infected, the slower they become, the more rash and chaotic their actions get. Your crew was contained, but if they somehow get out of isolation, they could be here any minute. Black Quarry will be slower.
How did they even find you? Nova asked.
Probably just returning to the last place they remembered finding new hosts, Thea reasoned.
Dylan said, So it is a virus?
Honestly, at this point, I'm guessing a bacterial parasite. Something that's essentially hijacking the host and driving them to pass on the infection. Despite her deal with Cohen, Thea considered sharing what she'd just learned about Tarlo, the doctor's discovery of the black seaweed as a child, and the nature of her parents' death. But Cleaver suddenly swore behind her, his voice laced with panic. For the briefest instant, Thea feared they'd failed to hold their perimeter, that somehow one of the infected had snuck past them and attacked. But as she turned toward Cleaver, she heard a deep groan of straining metal. The boot Cleaver was working on was about to give out completely. Odyssey's exterior lights trembled, and as the ship jolted, sinking farther into the ground, Cleaver screamed in pain. Thea ran for him, nearly colliding with Cohen in the process. Dylan and Nova joined them, too. Odyssey was now at an incredibly awkward angle, one leg sunk deep into the earth. Cleaver had tried to crawl from beneath the ship, but hadn't made it completely to safety. He was face down, visible from the waist up, and pinned in place by the ship, which had come down on his upper legs. If he'd only crawled in the opposite direction, he might have been spared. That side of the ship was now raised well off the ground, landing gear suspended in the air.
My legs!
Cleaver panted. Dylan and Nova each grabbed one of his arms and tugged back, resulting in a string of curses from the man.
You guys lift while we pull,
Dylan said to Thea and Cohen.
Lift? This was a UT-800 transport ship. Even as one of the smaller models in its class, it could only be moved in pieces by industrial forklifts and cargo loaders.
Shouldn't we dig instead?
Thea asked.
And risk the ground caving in on all of us? Or pinning Cleaver further? Just lift!
They couldn't very well leave the man, so despite the absurdity of the order, Thea followed it. She positioned herself on one side of Cleaver, while Cohen stepped up to the ship on the other.
1, he counted. 2, 3!
Together they heaved, and to Thea's surprise, the ship gave. Not much, barely more than a centimeter,
but with Dylan and Nova pulling on Cleaver at the same time, his body moved just slightly. Dylan yelled with surprise. Clearly, she hadn't expected much success either. Cohen and Thea looked at each other, confused.
"Maybe the ground shifted again,"
he offered.
"One last time, then," Dylan said, "before it caves in."
At the count of three, Thea threw all the effort she could muster into the act. She felt the ground shift underfoot, the ship lurch slightly. It was enough to relieve the worst of the pressure on Cleaver, and Dylan and Nova were able to pull him back a few millimeters. That was all it took. With the widest part of his legs no longer pinned, the women dragged him to safety.
"Broken,"
Dylan said, as they set Cleaver down at a distance.
"Both legs."
"Odyssey too,"
Nova said, still staring at it. While not overturned, the ship reminded Thea of a bug stuck on its back, legs flailing, unable to get purchase with the ground. The damaged boot was now fully swallowed by the earth. There'd be no righting it, no chance at a liftoff.
"Maybe we can barricade the ship,"
Dylan muttered, mostly to herself.
"Hole up there, wait for the backup Havit's crew to land."
"They'll overrun it," Cohen argued. "They forced their way past every barricade Black Quarry set up."
"What about the bunker you were hiding at?" Nova asked. "Will that hold?"
"If they don't realize we're staying there, maybe, but..."
"The short-range shuttles!"
Thea shouted over them. They all looked at her like she was crazy.
"Nova, you said Celestial Envoy probably had short-range shuttles."
The pilot nodded.
"Yes, but they don't have enough fuel to get us anywhere. We'd take off and be dead in the water."
"Havit sent that specialized crew to meet us. We don't have to get home, just to them. If we get on a shuttle, we'll have wings and a working comm system. We can broadcast an SOS while flying for the Trios. With any luck, Havit will pick us up,"
Dylan finished.
"Lacking fuel cells won't matter."
"Not bad, intern,"
Nova said, but it was the way she said it that mattered. It was a compliment, truly and sincerely, and if anyone could relate to not being taken seriously because of their title, it was Nova. Thea felt a smile crest her lips. Imagine that, smiling in a situation like this.
"We've got company,"
Cohen shouted, lurching to his feet. Thea's smile vanished. She spun toward the rovers, searching in the direction of Celestial Envoy. The Achilles landscape was deathly silent. Cohen was mistaken. But there, something moved into the light of the rovers at an unnatural speed. Thea blinked, and it was upon them, diving at the nearest crew member, Nova, and tackling her to the ground. The air went out of Nova's lungs as her back hit the hard Achilles earth. She barely managed to get her rifle up in time, using the length of the barrel to catch her attacker beneath the chin. It had happened so quickly, Cohen's warning, the body slamming into Nova, the fall. It was only now, as the air returned to her lungs in desperate gasps, that she was able to make sense of things and see who had tackled her. Sullivan. Her cousin was a shadow of his former self. He'd left Celestial Envoy without his helmet, and his skin was now red with cold. A trail of frozen blood still marked the space beneath his nose and most of his neck. His eyes were two dark orbs. He snarled like an animal, clawing at her. As his fingers grazed the glass of her helmet, she could see blood beneath the nails. Would it matter that it had frozen in the elements? If he managed to get at her skin and scratch her, would she fall as he did? Her forearms ached with exhaustion. She screamed for help. No one was coming. Behind her, she could hear a struggle, Dylan shouting orders, Cleaver yelling in pain. What they were up against hit Nova like a blow to the gut. Sullivan had been in Isolation 1, according to Thea's story. If he'd managed to get out, Toby must be free as well. The others likely had their hands full with the technician. Nova tried to scramble from beneath Sullivan, but his weight was too much. Her arms trembled.
"Keep your elbows locked! Keep them locked!"
If they gave out, it was over. A As soon as they buckled, Sullivan would be upon her, his hands able to reach her helmet's release.
Help!
She gasped out, her grip on the rifle slipping.
I need help!
There was a flare of white, and Sullivan twitched with surprise. In that one small moment of limpness, Nova scrambled from beneath him. As she stood, she caught Thea in the corner of her vision, lowering a stun gun. The intern had just saved her ass. Again.
No time to dwell on it.
Nova trained her rifle on Sullivan. He was pushing back to sit on his knees. He raised his head to meet her gaze, and when his mouth twisted into a smile, it was one of pure cunning. Evil. Dark. Murderous. Nova pulled the trigger on her rifle. And nothing happened. She glanced down, slapping at the body of the weapon. From the panel that typically displayed battery life, two words shone up at her. Charge depleted. Sullivan's smile seemed to get more devious.
So, please, she begged, backing away.
Thea unleashed several more shots, but the small stun gun barely had any effect on Sullivan. He stood to his full height, plodding through the shocks Thea threw his way.
Sullivan, this isn't you,
Nova said, reaching desperately for the knife stowed in her utility belt.
Please don't make me do this.
But as the words left Nova's lips, she knew they were wasted. She wasn't talking to her cousin anymore. He lunged, and she sighted the muscular slope of his neck, accessible without a helmet. As he tackled her again, she brought the blade up and swiped. Blood sprayed her visor. Nova slammed into the ground for a second time. She coughed in pain, yanked her arm from beneath Sullivan's limp body. Grunting, Nova pushed him aside and scrambled to her feet. Sullivan lay gasping on his back, hemorrhaged eyes locked on the sky. A dark, ragged line was drawn across his neck. Nova watched the blood bubble and bloom, then begin to freeze before her eyes. The bloody knife tumbled from her hand.
Nova, Thea said, grabbing the pilot's shoulder. Nova, we have to go.
Sullivan was dead, but another threat loomed. Dylan was attempting to drag Cleaver into the rover, while Cohen used a stun gun, borrowed from Dylan, possibly, to hold Toby at bay. The men had gotten free of the isolation chamber, which meant Dr. Tarlow was also free. Thea squinted toward Celestial Envoy, pulse pounding in her ears, but no one else was coming, not that she could see. Maybe the doctor's head injury had been too severe. Maybe she died before the parasite could take over.
So,
Nova was muttering, still staring at his body.
Nova, come on!
Whatever miracle had kept Sullivan alive in the freezing elements, a slowed metabolism, quickly clotting blood, could no longer save him. There was no mending a ruptured artery, no easy way to stop the bleeding Nova had inflicted.
The hatch! Get the hatch open!
Dylan was screaming. Thea glanced over her shoulder. While Toby recovered from a shock, Cohen had opened the hatchback of Rover 2. Dylan was struggling to lift Cleaver into the vehicle as Cohen continued to hold off Toby. With each blast, the technician stumbled backward, but just like Sullivan, he regained his footing easily and came in for another attack. Relentless. Tireless. The longer a person's infected, the slower they become, the more rash and chaotic their actions get. Toby had been infected for about 3 hours, and roughly half that time he'd spent either passed out or sedated. The technician was not going to tire, and Thea and Cohen had left a small mob of infected Black Quarry members at the med bay. If they got through the airlock or retreated back through the hangar bay, they'd be slower and clumsier, but there was no way the small Odyssey crew would be able to fend them all off.
Nova! Thea!
Dylan's voice cut through the night.
Coming!
Thea shouted back, but the pilot's grief had become a shackle, a chain of weights. Thea was forced to slow several times, yanking Nova to her feet. Thea's ankles protested the uneven, pocked ground, but she managed to get to Rover 2, where she ordered the pilot into the rear seat.
As soon as she slammed that door shut, Thea fumbled for the driver's door handle, found the latch, heaved it open. Sliding into the seat, she looked over her shoulder. Cleaver was halfway inside the vehicle, Dylan's hands hooked beneath his armpits as she pulled with all her strength. At his feet, Cohen alternated between pushing him into the Rover and firing on Toby, who was finally slowing after weathering so many shocks.
"One more!"
Dylan yelled, pulling on Cleaver with all her might. The man slid into the vehicle, only his feet left hanging in the elements. Cohen leapt onto the bumper, fired one final shot at Toby, and shouted, "Go, go, go!" Thea slammed her foot on the accelerator, and the vehicle sputtered and yawned. She tried again. Sometimes the cold played tricks on the Rovers at Northwood Point, and all you had to do was give them a little extra juice before they turned over. Thea patted the accelerator. Battery lights flashed on the dashboard, and as Thea looked up in desperation, something staggered into the glow of the Rover's headlights. Commander Lowe. Behind him, the men from the vents. And others, perhaps a dozen infected crew members, bodies half frozen, faces distorted with blisters from the cold.
"Drive!"
Dylan roared.
"I'm trying!"
Thea smacked at the ignition button, revved the engine. The bodies collided with Rover 2, hands slapping at the hood and windows, fingers prying at the locked doors. Cohen shouted from the rear, firing again on Toby. The Rover rocked as the mob battered it, moving toward the rear. There were too many for Cohen's lone stun gun. Thea looked in the rearview mirror to see hands groping at Cleaver's ankles. Cohen kicked at them while Dylan struggled to keep the man from being pulled from the Rover.
"God damn it! Drive!"
the captain screamed. Thea held the ignition button, trying the accelerator repeatedly. The engine whined with newfound energy and finally turned over. A wave of relief knocked through Thea as the Rover surged forward. Looking in the rearview mirror, her elation vanished. The sudden speed of the Rover had worked in the mob's favor. Cleaver was now sliding toward them. He reached in desperation, grabbing blindly for Cohen, who was positioned in a squat, firing on the very bastards Cleaver was so desperate to escape. It happened in a heartbeat. Cleaver's hand closed over Cohen's ankle, and as he was pulled from the moving Rover by the infected, he took Cohen with him. Pain shot through his back as he hit the ground. If he hadn't been watching out for the others, watching what he said and did in their presence, he'd have seen the fall coming. But he'd been playing a game since the moment the Odyssey crew landed, and his deceptions had finally caught up with him. He rolled, ignoring the pain and getting his feet beneath him. As he straightened, he reached for what he'd been hesitant to use before. His hand closed over the pickaxe. He withdrew it by the arched metal, then let go swiftly, allowing the weight of the head to plummet for the ground. The handle propelled into his palm. Fingers closed over the carbon fiber shaft, he used his free hand to draw a second weapon from his thigh, a butcher's blade that he'd welded onto a piece of scrap metal. Those things, they were converging on the man the crew called Cleaver. He ran, silent, and swung the pickaxe into the back of the nearest body, pulled it free, slashed with a knife sword, yanked that free as he spun, burying the pickaxe into another skull. He did not look into their eyes. He couldn't risk seeing a face he recognized, a crew member he'd worked beside. These people were not the friends he'd known 2 months ago. They were no longer human, but something else. Like him. He'd become a thing he didn't understand since the incident. An eager, angry, vicious machine. There'd been a monster lurking within him, and he'd welcomed it in order to survive. He kept swinging the axe, slashing the blade. His helmet fogged with his breath, and sweat dripped in his eyes. His visor flashed with inconsequential vitals, as though an elevated heart rate mattered right now. As if slowing was an option. He was a storm, a fury, a stranger to himself,
and when it was over, the Ockleys' ground was wet with blood. Over a dozen bodies lay scattered, dismembered. He fought the urge to vomit. The man called Cleaver raised a hand, searching for help, as he had in the rover. His helmet had been removed, and his neck and cheeks were awash with scratches.
"Please,"
he said. "Please help me? Please end it?" It didn't matter. There was only one thing to be done. Cohen kneeled, and the monster inside him snapped the man's neck. 8. The Immune. Celestial Envoy, Ockleys, Fringe One System. The thing lay there, silent, face down in the frozen dirt. It felt cold, but only faintly. It hurt, but not terribly. The thing could hear the monster's attack, a flurry of slashes and stabs and tears. It tried to get up, move to safety, but its right leg felt heavy, wrong. Something had sliced through its calf. It actually hurt quite a bit, the thing decided. It had been lying when it said it wasn't that bad. Peering through the dark, the thing watched the others fall, one after the next, until the monster finally slowed, then moved with careful precision, stepping over the dead to reach the lone survivor. Everything about the monster made the thing's insides writhe. It watched the monster watch the survivor, then snap his neck. The thing no longer tried to move. Not yet. They'd fallen. Cohen and Cleaver pulled from the rear of the rover, and here Thea sat, foot still on the accelerator, steering Rover 2 back to Celestial Envoy as fast as the terrain would allow. Some rescue crew they made, half of their own dead, the only Black Quarry survivor, now doomed, left behind in the clutches of a mindless mob. "Dylan ordered you to keep driving," Thea told herself as she squinted at the ashy gray masses of rocks and ruts that flew by outside the vehicle. "You had no choice." But there was always a choice, wasn't there? It wasn't that they'd left Cleaver and Cohen that bothered Thea so much, but that she agreed. What could they have done for the men, truly? Her crew had just the few weapons between them. Dylan's lost when Cohen was yanked from the rover, the charge on Nova's rifle depleted. And as they'd seen all too clearly, a stun didn't drop the infected the way it did a healthy person. It slowed them, but not sufficiently. They did not tire. They kept coming. And even if the Black Quarry crew was slower, as Cohen had explained, they were still a dozen strong. Perhaps there were even more coming. Commander Lowe was one of the first crew members to be infected. Was it possible, then, to believe he may have been one of the first to retreat to the ravines, that he'd been among the best preserved and one of the first to reanimate? Dozens of infected could have since emerged from the drilling base. Thea hadn't passed any other signs of life while driving, and while there was no way of knowing what awaited them back at the ship, turning around for Cleaver and Cohen would only doom them all. "Besides," she reasoned, "they're probably already dead." "Not dead," she imagined Cohen saying. "Infected." Infected, then, beyond saving, and nothing but a death sentence to the rest of the Odyssey crew. Was this the person she'd become, heartless in the face of reason? She was putting herself above others, weighing her life as more worthy, hers and Dylan's and Nova's. Dylan might have given the order to drive on, but neither Thea nor Nova had argued. "No one will get off this planet if you are not ruthless about the protection of your own life," Thea told herself. Her oxygen reserves had just dropped below 30%. Time was of the essence. She adjusted her grip on the steering wheel and sped on. He was dead. Sullivan Hooper was dead, and it had happened at her hands. Nova stared at her palms. She'd dropped the knife back near the ship, but she could feel the ghost of it against her skin as if she wasn't even wearing a suit. The rubber grip of the handle,
the weight of the pommel against the heel of her hand. Nova felt a tear slide down her cheek. She blinked aggressively to keep others from falling. She couldn't lose it now. If they didn't get to the short-range shuttles, they'd all be done for, and she needed to fly what remained of their crew to safety.
"I'm sorry about Sullivan," Dylan said softly.
"Don't talk to me," snapped Nova. The woman was kind enough to comply. Maybe it was cruel of Nova. Dylan had just seen her own father outside the rover, the ruined state of his eye, the rabid thing he'd become. Nova should have offered her own sympathies, perhaps, but she was too numb. And even in her numbness, a part of her couldn't stop comparing the two deaths. Sullivan's had only happened because of Dylan Lowe, who had pushed the team on blindly, stubbornly, without listening to those around her. Whereas Commander Lowe's death was in no way Nova's fault. These losses weren't the same, and it drove a wedge into Nova's heart, letting her anchor with Dylan widen. When they reached Celestial Envoy, Thea brought the rover inside, and Dylan sealed the main hangar door. "To keep them out," she explained.
"Or in," Thea replied. "More could have returned here while we were gone."
A shiver ran down Nova's limbs at the possibility. She turned for the rear of the rover and began to search for additional battery mags as a distraction.
"I'm still closing it," Dylan said. "If infected crew members are running around Celestial Envoy, it's best we keep those numbers from growing. And we can continue to seal off sections as we make our way to the shuttle."
"What if we need to get back out?" Thea asked.
"If we need to get back out, we're fucked. Nova, where would the short-term shuttles be?"
Nova barely heard her. She'd retreated inside herself, busied her hands with the ray rifle. She moved automatically, ejecting the drained battery mag and slapping a new one into place.
"Nova!"
Dylan urged again. She checked the panel on the side of the barrel. Full charge.
"Nova!"
"The commander's chambers," Nova said, stowing two additional battery mags in her utility belt.
She wouldn't find herself in the same situation again.
"Maybe high-ranking officials, too. Their rooms probably adjoin emergency docking bays, and if there's a short-range shuttle, that's where it will be."
"If?" Dylan said.
"Also, an operation this advanced will have security protocol in place for those rooms. We'll probably need access codes to get through doorways and airlocks."
"So we start in the lab," Thea offered. "The tabs might have info on them."
"Or we start on the bridge," Dylan argued. "See if we can override the doorways altogether."
"We'd need Toby for that," Nova said. "And Toby's... well, he's not going to be much help, is he?"
She slid from the rover and rested the barrel of the ray rifle against her shoulder.
"It's a long shot any of the info we need is even stored in a public file. But maybe we'll get lucky."
"So, the lab," Dylan concluded.
Nova watched Thea scan the hangar in desperation, as though she might find a rogue shuttle waiting in the shadows. She wouldn't. Nova had looked hours ago, when they first set foot in the hangar. It was filled with nothing but ground transportation, trailers, and cargo loaders.
"I'll lead," Dylan went on. "Nova, you take the rear. Thea, give me your stun gun and stay close."
Thea hated being unarmed, but Dylan's weapon had been lost with Cohen's fall from the rover, and besides Nova's ray rifle, Thea's stun gun was the only other weapon the women had between them. If she hadn't handed it over to Dylan willingly, the captain would have taken it by force. Perhaps worse than being unarmed, though, Thea hated the ominous quiet of the ship. With each turned corner, each ascended stairwell, she braced for disaster, expecting an infected crew member to jump out at her from the darkness. But they were greeted with only the familiar and ominous flickering of lights. When the women finally reached the research floor, it was still sealed off from the rest of the ship. The doors must have slid shut behind Commander Lowe and the small army of infected he'd brought with him when they took to following the rovers. That or they'd managed to eventually breach the medbay and had followed Cohen and Thea out the isolation chamber's airlock. Dylan led the way through the doors, and they crept on. As they edged past a vent, Thea heard a creak from deep within and froze, terror racing through her. But when she held a hand before the cover panel, she felt the softest kiss of air pushing back. It was just the ventilation system. She checked the data in the corner of her visor, which told her that the air outside her helmet was unbreathable. She paused, confused. Maybe when Sullivan and Toby escaped Isolation 1, the sedative continued pumping, slowly spreading beyond the med bay and throughout the entire floor. That didn't explain why these hall vents were running. Perhaps they were operating on an emergency protocol, circulating breathable air in an attempt to counteract the sedative. There wasn't time to troubleshoot it. Her own oxygen reserves were now at 25%, and she doubted the other women had much more.
What the?
Dylan stood frozen in the research lab's doorway. Someone had been here. Someone with a purpose. Every last tab had been removed from the charging caddy. Now, they lay strewn about the table, along with a variety of the freezer samples, and Evans's pistol that Dylan had taken from the bridge and left here ever since. The samples of drilled dirt had been separated from three canisters holding a viscous, black liquid. One had been labeled Corarium X, and the subsequent two, Core X. Thea followed Dylan into the room, walking in a trance. Sitting at the edge of the table, behind all these canisters, was a small aquarium filled with water. Inside, blades dancing lazily along the surface, was a piece of the black seaweed Thea had seen in the WH Rover 4 footage. Up close, she could see that the stipe was slender but rubbery in texture, and that the blades were wide, flat ribbons supported by bulbous gas bladders that provided float. The entire plant was an inky black, save for the bladders, which gleamed with a greenish, iridescent sheen. The roots were thick and gnarly, but they ended bluntly, as though someone had hacked the plant free while harvesting it. Still, many of the long blades intertwined in the small constraints of the tank. Unraveled, Thea guessed the plant was at least 3 meters long, easily taller than her.
What the hell is—
Don't touch it! Thea shouted, putting an arm out to stop Dylan. The captain shook her off, peering intently at the seaweed.
Where did it come from?
Thea pointed to a hip-tall refrigerator in the far corner of the room. She'd overlooked it during her early times in the lab, but its lid was cracked open now, reflecting the overhead lights in a way that was impossible to ignore. Thea glanced back at the aquarium. A label on the side identified the seaweed as Laminaria acris, and also included a date that matched the day of Lee's injury. The seaweed must have been found by Lee himself, or by others in his crew, perhaps when they'd reviewed the site where he'd fallen. Interesting as all this was, none of it explained who had removed the sample from the fridge, or what Core X was. If the substance was the same as that found in the Trios, it would surely be labeled Corarium. This sample, found deep in the ravine, below water and the rocky bottom where the seaweed had been anchored, must be some variant of the fuel source.
Achilles has complex plant life?
Dylan murmured, still staring at the seaweed. Plant life that grew in water that served as a conduit for a deadly parasite. It dawned on Thea that the bacteria might gather near or even live on the Laminaria Achilles species. She took a step away from the aquarium and said,
"We should be looking for the passcode."
"These tabs have been scrubbed," Nova said, glancing up from the devices.
"You're kidding," Dylan said. "No, they're blank. Empty. Not a drop of data left."
"What?"
Dylan rushed to join the pilot.
"Who the hell would have done that?"
"Me,"
someone said behind them. Thea knew that voice.
She also knew it wasn't possible. But when she turned away from the aquarium, there she was, Dr. Lisbeth Tarlow, standing in the doorway, uninjured, and very much alive.
"You should be infected," Thea stuttered.
"I'm fine," she said calmly. "What do you need the tabs for?"
"I saw them attack you. They pulled off your helmet, and you were just lying there."
"I must have lost consciousness before they did any real damage. Maybe they thought I was dead."
The doctor was wearing her suit again, helmet and all. There'd been a cut along her brow, but it was missing now. In its place, Thea could see only a smear of dried blood. Had Thea imagined the injuries, mistaken Sullivan's or Toby's blood for the doctor's? Everything had happened so fast.
"Did you let Sullivan and Toby out of Isolation 1?
Dylan asked. The stun gun she'd borrowed from Thea remained aimed at the floor, but her hand tightened on the grip.
"What? No!
When I came to, the chamber's door was open and medical was empty."
"Then how did Sullivan and Toby end up attacking us at Odyssey?"
"I don't know," the doctor insisted. "I was alone. I promise."
"It's possible the group that attacked us saw people in isolation and forced the door open," Thea reasoned. "Maybe they assumed Tarlow and the guys were dead and just moved on."
"Yes," Dr. Tarlow said quickly. "That makes sense. Sullivan and Toby must have come too before me and also left."
"But I could have sworn you were bleeding," Thea went on. "Your brow, along your neck."
"I'm fine," the doctor insisted.
It didn't make sense, but Thea could admit that Dr. Tarlow did indeed appear fine. She showed no signs of a nosebleed, and her eyes were perfectly healthy. She wasn't twitching or snarling or clawing at her own face.
"I ran some brain scans and blood tests, and I know what we're dealing with," the doctor said. "Come to the med bay."
"Brain scans?"
Nova chimed in.
"On who? You said you were alone." "I brought in two samples, infected, that were roaming the halls."
Dylan swore in disbelief and trained her weapon up. Dr. Tarlow simply held up her hands and continued.
"I can show you the results if you just come with me to the med bay. There's proof. It will all make sense."
"It doesn't make any sense," Thea chirped out. "They're strong, wild, irrational. You never could have overpowered two of them without being injured yourself."
"I vented a sedative through the whole floor, brought in the subjects once they were unconscious."
That explained the air Thea had felt moving through the system, but it didn't explain why the doctor hadn't radioed Dylan when she came to, why she hadn't tried to contact anyone in the crew.
"It's not right," Thea said, shaking her head. "She's hiding something."
There was an air of sadness to the doctor's expression, but what had she expected? This was Thea's mentor, a woman who had told her everything would be fine. A woman who had been to Ockley's before, as a child, and knew quite clearly that things would not be fine. That the planet was incredibly dangerous. That it should be under galactic quarantine, ensuring that no one ever set foot here again.
"How did you know Odyssey was damaged?"
Dylan said, her weapon now aimed at Dr. Tarlow's chest.
"I didn't know anything. I assumed the storm would wreak havoc."
"Our comms were sabotaged. You did that, didn't you? When we went to the drilling base, you snuck out and cut the lines?"
"No. I was here in the labs the whole time. I'd tell you to ask Sullivan, but..."
"He's dead now," Dylan continued. "Cleaver's as good as infected, too. Same with Cohen."
"The boy?"
Dr. Tarlow gasped.
"He can't be."
"I saw them get pulled from the rover by a mob of infected black quarry workers. I think I'd know. Now, you better get your story straight, Tarlow."
"Listen,"
the doctor said, her palm still held up in surrender.
"Just come into the lab with me, and I can show you the tests. I can explain everything."
"She's seen this before," Thea said quietly.
Cohen showed me footage he found hidden at the Witch Hazel bunker. It started with her parents. They died in a storm, but not how we thought, not how all the reports claim. It's something in the water, a parasite. It got in her parents and drove them to attack each other. She killed them and covered it up.
It's complicated, Dr. Tarlow said quickly.
Something seemed to crack in Thea's chest. The doctor hadn't denied it. She'd known all along what they might find on Achilles, the risks the planet posed. She knew, and she'd done nothing, even had the nerve to tell Thea everything would be fine. She'd warned the team about harsh land and rough storms, but not what mattered most. She'd damned them all.
I wanted to be you once, Thea said.
Thea, you don't understand. I had to keep it contained.
Contained, sure. But you hid the footage. You didn't tell Hevitz all those years ago, and you didn't tell us now.
I was young during Witch Hazel, scared. I was terrified of lifelong quarantine, isolation that would never end, tests and examinations. So I kept quiet. I isolated myself in the bunker and then always. I isolate myself still.
But you let us come here, Thea screamed. It's one thing to be scared as a kid, but now it's just cowardice. You could have stopped this. You could have prevented all of this.
I've dedicated my entire life to prevention, the doctor snarled, her expression hardening for the first time since she appeared in the doorway. I've worked the same job for ages, always researching, always working toward an answer that might protect us, protect everyone. If a contagion of this magnitude exists on Achilles, it's only a matter of time until it, or something similar, appears elsewhere. In the Trios? Another system? Look at the devastation it's wrought. We need to find a cure. We need to understand this parasite so that we know how to eradicate it. I'll admit that at first I was terrified to set foot here again, but then I realized it was a gift, a chance to finish what I started.
Dr. Tarlow swallowed heavily behind her helmet.
The responsible path is often hard. It has consequences. It is never easy. But this was the only way, she insisted. Don't you understand? Can you imagine what they would have done to me if I'd told them the truth? It wouldn't have been a life, and it would never have resulted in answers. Science is about answers, about understanding, about making a better future.
What the hell are you talking about?
Dylan said. But Thea saw. She saw, and now she couldn't unsee. She saw so clearly she didn't know how she'd missed it when Cohen had first shown her the footage. The pool Tarlow had fallen into, almost drowning. Mention of a helmet leak? She'd swallowed the water, the same bacteria her father had encountered when stripping off his suit and wading in to save her. Lisbeth Tarlow's motives had been self-preservation, always. As a child, it was somewhat selfish, a desire to merely survive. As an adult, that self-preservation drive extended beyond herself, to understand, to cure.
You're...
Thea, let me explain. It's different.
She's infected,
Thea muttered.
Dylan's aim sharpened. Is that true?
Silence. The hallway was so still, Thea swore she could hear the whirring of the ventilation fans.
Is that true?
Dylan roared.
Are you infected?
Yes, but...
Dylan fired. Dr. Tarlow didn't fall. She didn't even stagger. Her expression went blank as her hands moved to her stomach. When she removed them, her gloves were wet with blood. Dylan Lowe was no longer holding Thea's stun gun. She was holding a pistol. Pitch's pistol. The very piece Thea had seen resting with the tabs and drill samples. The captain must have grabbed it when Thea had her back turned.
What are you doing?
She screamed as the doctor slumped to the floor.
She's sick, like the others,
Dylan said.
Yes, but it's different. This didn't just happen. She's been sick all along, since Witch Hazel. She's resistant.